Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world. The Philadelphia.
Welcome to Tears from the Press Box. I am your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host, as always.
What is up, everybody? Brennan Tassif coming to you live from New York City, baby. What's up, Joe?
Coming to you. Doing good. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good. Just, you know, got off of work. I thought the Texans would be routing the Cowboys right now, and they are not.
Yeah. It's closer than you would think. Closer than you would imagine.
You know, it's the battle everyone's been talking about. Cooper Rush versus CJ Stroud. Who's the winner?
Who's the better quarterback in Texas?
That's somehow, that sounds that's
apparently
that's
the better. Answer's Arch Manning somehow.
Yeah, right.
But we will get to some of the NFL things that have happened, some of the NCAA things that have happened. Everything else, put it on the back burner. NHL, huge win by my Florida Ice Cats, beating the Winnipeg Jets. Nuggets currently don't have, Jokic is not with the team. Coach Malone wasn't with the team for one of the last two games. So we'll get to both of those after the holiday season when those sports really get up and kicking and the NFL kind of coalesces with a better picture of what it looks like. So, Brennan. Without any further ado.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Do you have the time?
I was just looking for it. I think it's time for
Game of the Week. He really slow played me there.
I did.
I jumped the gun. False start by me.
It'll sync up in post.
It will not. Game of the week. So, Brennan.
Yes.
So, for everybody wondering what me and Brennan talk about prior to the start of the show, I was telling Brennan how I had the most unfortunate of bad beats. So,
we're going to get right into it, huh?
Going to get right into it because it is.
You told me
everything
your second
has to
bad
do with
beat
this game.
Had something to do with one of the games we're going to talk about. You didn't tell me it was the game of the week.
It's game of the week. So, I had two of my six-leg parlays happen. One was in this game. One happened earlier in the day. It was the Rams-Patriots. I needed four field goals in the game total. Only got three. Rams shanked one.
Oh, you're talking about total for both kickers. I thought you meant
both
four from each kicker.
No.
Total, that's why I was like, that's insane.
Collectively.
Okay. Never mind. That does it. Okay. That makes more sense.
The Rams kicker shanked it off the post at the end of the first half. And then the Rams ended up in no man's land. They could have kicked the 55-yarder. They ended up punting instead. So that part of the leg went away, but it's prize pick. So if you hit 4 out of 5, you're still in pretty good shape. But I was already 4 for 4 on everything else. So the last one was in the Sunday night game. And I needed over 56 and a half yards from J.K. Dobbins.
Ooh.
And he wasn't getting shit. I think I finally looked around in the second half and he was like 7 carries for 11 yards. And it was like, well, he's not going to get it. So well, ho-hum, whatever.
As someone who has J.K. Dobbins in fantasy, I already can see where this is going.
The game is going, and it's like, yeah. So now I'm just watching the game for, like, the game's sake. Evan McPherson's missing field goals.
It was a good game.
The Chargers can't move. Like, the Bengals come back. Then everybody gets stagnant in the fourth quarter. Nobody wants to fucking score the ball. Nobody wants to get a first down.
Yeah, it's tied up in the fourth quarter.
All right, after some technical difficulties. So
it's almost like we haven't been doing the show for 4 years.
I know, right? So I'm the game's going. We're deep in the fourth quarter. If I said this already, I'm sorry. And the game seems like we're probably going to overtime. Overtime is probably the best bet because neither team can really get the ball going in the fourth quarter here. And then the Chargers hand the ball to J.K. Dobbins, and he breaks off a big run.
But let's be clear. It's 27-27, and he had no – he had no bit. So it's not like it was like a stagnant game. It's just in the fourth quarter, everything seemed to shut down.
Yeah.
And he had no business. If you hadn't seen the run, go back and watch the highlight. He has no business scoring. He's like tiptoeing the sideline. He's like getting hit. And you're like, oh, he breaks a tackle. And you're like, oh, he'll get like four more yards.
Yeah. And then he just goes. He just goes. And he goes. And I'm watching and I'm like, oh, it's pretty
doing
impressive.
Math in your head?
No, I'm not at all. And then he flips, he scores, and then I was on Blue Sky, and I'll plug Blue Sky later on here. But me and somebody were going back and forth, and then he breaks off that run, and I'm like, holy buckets. And then I'm like, did that just secure my parlay? So I run to go look, and I needed over 56.5.
And mind you, this run, is the game-winning, end-of-the-game run. Seconds are on the clock coming down. There's no more plays after this. They win the game. Joe, what did he end up with yards?
56
yards. Yes, he did.
Right, yes, he did. On the line. I was like, you can't. You got to be kidding me.
Those are the worst beats. I've had people lose fantasy matchups because quarterbacks take a knee. I've had people lose bets because running backs like get tackled for a loss on like the last play.
Now I'm like, oh, that third quarter pitch play where he lost 2 yards. Oh, you're killing me.
And that's the thing I love about sports. And that's the thing that's hard to like tell people about, though. But it's like everything matters.
Every little bit counts to somebody.
So like in the first quarter when they're like, yeah. And so like in the first quarter when they like call a timeout because the quarterback like didn't get the play in time, every time I see like even something minor, like somebody drops an easy catch or something and you're like, that's going
to
be important.
It's going to come to haunt you.
That's going
to
be important. Yep.
but outside of my bad beat, Brennan, what did you take away from this game? The Chargers, they didn't. The biggest takeaway for me was the Chargers didn't charge her. The Cincinnati Bengals ended up charging here. After roaring back.
Yeah, so two things. We always joke that the season starts slow for Cincinnati. Well, it seems the game starts slow for Cincinnati as well because they have to come back in like all these games.
You must be talking about the royal we. I said it's a bad idea starting slow, like as a mantra.
I'm saying like they do it on the seasons. They do it on the games. They've done it as an organization where it took them a long time to get going. But it's interesting because Burrow has openly talked about how he wears his competitiveness and his emotions on his sleeve. He looks pissed because he's been playing well the last few weeks and they just cannot get these wins. And the other thing I took away was the Chargers love, as far as the team and the players, love Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. And I think I heard this from the fantasy football podcast I listened to from The Ringer, but it was an interesting point. I never even put two and two together. But Jim Coach, it's Jim, right? Jim's the one in L.A.?
Yes.
I always get him confused. But Jim coached Andrew Luck at Stanford. And everyone said, man, what if he goes to the pros with Andrew Luck? Remember, that was a big thing back then. Yeah. And then he ended up going to the 49ers and just never got to coach Andrew Luck. And I heard this and I thought about it for a little bit because it makes sense to me. I think he's thinking Justin Herbert is his Andrew Luck. He's letting him cook.
No, he's not, actually. I was gonna say, in recent games, Justin Herbert has had to do some cooking. But if you go back and look at the stats of the first couple of games of the season, it was like, God, Lee, the handcuffs are on. He's running the Michigan offense. Like, hey, we're going to run. Never going to pass unless we absolutely have to. It's only recently where a couple more games have been a little closer. Where he's like, kind of need Justin Herbert to, all that magic that was talked about for Justin Herbert, kind of need you to do some of that for me.
And Herbert, that's what I'm saying is like, don't you think? Okay, so you think it's more? I think it's more because he's 13 touchdowns and one pick. I think it's more. My argument.
I think that's
was,
he's being protected.
Okay, because I was thinking look maybe at, as the Baker season Mayfield has gone like along,
damn near double the touchdowns Justin Herbert yeah. has. Like that should not be reality.
No, I agree with you in the sense that he's not like this shining star. Like Andrew Luck took the Colts to the playoffs his first year, but I think it's a situation where he got there and he's becoming more trusting of Herbert as the season kind of goes along. Don't you think that goes hand in hand with like when they're in a tight spot, he's like, all right, let yeah. it rip.
Yeah. Yeah. But my thing is that trust was built in with Andrew Luck. Like I think Herbert but let's for also him,
not forget Luck I had a Herbert, running back that almost won the Heisman.
I think Herbert for him is more JJ McCarthy.
A white running back.
Who I campaigned for the Heisman, mind you. We've done this many times. You're not going to shame
me but
out of being the biggest Christian McCaffrey college fan ever. He broke Barry Sanders' record. Why didn't he win the Heisman? I don't know. What are we doing? We don't live in reality.
Toby Gerhart and then fucking C-Mac, baby, CMC.
But I think he's more
JJ McCarthy.
JJ McCarthy. I don't want to call him Justin McCarthy. I think he's more JJ McCarthy in the sense like he's a caretaker, not necessary. He's obviously he's better than JJ McCarthy.
I was going to say physically he's better.
I was going to say physically arm, and gifted yeah. wise, but it's like caretaker until I need you to do something a little dynamic.
So you're thinking this is just the product of this is just how Harbaugh runs his team.
I think this is
yeah,
how Harbaugh
he always
runs
has
his team.
A running game. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I just
this looks just like what's his name, San Francisco with Alex Smith. Yeah. Like, hey, we're not going to ask you to do like a lot. Michigan, we're going to hand it
McCarthy,
off.
Yeah,
yeah. And then when Kaepernick gets there, it's like, okay, we're not going to ask you to do a lot until we absolutely need to. And
yeah,
you know, big guys make big plays in big moments. Hey. But
Josh Allen about that,
I think a couple weeks we'll get to it. I think a couple weeks ago I asked you, is the Bengals season over? So I'll ask you again.
I said no.
Now yes. They're 4-7.
As my man Michael Wilbon likes to do. I'm not even going to wait for after the break. Yes.
Are they coming off two losses?
Yeah, two yes.
Ravens
losses.
And then the Chargers. Yeah, Ravens on Thursday. They lost
again,
three
they
of their
lost
last
that
four.
In the last. And they lost that Ravens game in the final seconds, too, yeah. when they went for two.
Went for two, didn't get it. Unfortunate. People will call.
So, Zach, I want to ask you this, because we talk about this in college a lot, where teams will be winning, but they're like, fire the coach. We're not going to get in the playoff, or we're not going to win a national championship. It's like, okay, we can fire the coach, but who's out there? In the pros, you don't see it as often, because there's a process to a lot of the stuff. It's very yeah. rare for a coach to get fired in the first year unless they're absolutely abysmal and lose the locker room. So where with the Bengals and Zach Taylor do you see them going? Because a lot of people are calling for his head because they keep losing these close games. They keep starting slow. But if you fire Zach Taylor, like what are your options?
What are your options, Zach?
Do you
coach?
Think... Yeah, look, what I'm saying is, like, do you think bringing in a Vrabel or bringing in a Brian Flores
yes.
or bringing in a
yes.
Belichick would change
yes.
things? Okay.
Yes.
I 100% agree with you, too, because I think they were winning in spite of Zach Taylor.
I don't think they were winning in spite of Zach Taylor necessarily, but my thing is Zach Taylor obviously is – so – players coach
he came
has
in
become,
as a pup, didn't he?
I would say players coach is used as a mark against people in certain aspects. And I think there is a bad version of it and there's a good version of it. I think Zach Taylor came in as a pup. Guys looked at him like one of the guys. He might have been, they didn't look at him as an authority figure. Whereas Mike Tomlin is a player's coach, but he's also the coach. We know he's the coach. He's the engine. He's the thing that stirs everything that we have. All output runs through him. So I think of Vrabel, who is also a player's coach, but is a man that commands respect and is not going to take this narrative of, yeah, we start slow. We figure it out as we go. Like, no, what? That's not how you build winners. You don't build championship yeah. teams by thinking like, oh, we'll figure it out by October. Like, no, you win and then you keep winning and then you hate losing. And then yeah. that makes you win some more. Like, I don't understand this. So they may need more of an adult in the room. I think Zach Taylor did definitely a very good job in helping with the development of Joe Burrow and the offense. But another person I think the lie
this played in the NFL for 1 year. I did not know that.
Didn't know that either. He played receiver or something, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he went to Wake Forest. He broke a ton of records in Oklahoma.
Wow.
But then ended up getting passed over from Oklahoma and went to Wake Forest. It doesn't say what position he played.
Oh, I just said receiver because, like, isn't he a McVay guy?
Yeah.
And McVay was a receiver. That's the only reason I thought that.
Oh, no, but it's quarterback.
Oh, okay. I think he was the QB coach in, what's his name, actually?
I'm looking at it right now. He was the quarterback's coach in Miami and the offensive coordinator in Miami, and then offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach in Cincinnati, and then wide receivers coach in LA, and then quarterback's coach in 2018, right before he got the gig.
Got it. Yeah, so I think I'm also going to lay a lot of this blame at the feet of the GM. To me, this year is a wash. This year is over. It's been done for a while. T Higgins still doesn't have a contract. Jamar Chase still doesn't have a contract. Those contracts should have been taken care of because the price of the brick is only going up.
That defense is a shell of itself from 2 years ago.
That defense is.
Remember when everyone was talking about Big Lou as a head coach?
Yeah, he should have got out while the getting was good.
Yeah.
But a lot of their guys left, man. Jesse Bates left.
And is crushing it.
I was going to say, another DB they had is also gone. But yeah, the front is not getting as much pressure. They went all white. Never go all white. You can't throw Chuba Hubbard over there. And wait, not Chuba Hubbard.
It's the same kind of name. Yeah. Sam Hubbard.
Sam Hubbard, thank you. You can't throw Sam Hubbard on one side and Trey Hendrickson on the other side. You got to go one on one side. You can't double up. Like, asking for a lot there. But no, I think the defense obviously is underperforming. The offense is doing as much as they can. But if you're going to start, you can't start slow all the time. Like, I think the mentality of the team is honestly the biggest issue. They have such a we got this mentality. And then when they come into the game, it's like, oh, that other team doesn't think they got it. And they've been busting their ass all week to get it. And they're coming to take it from you.
Like, so before the season started, they lost. Okay, so Jesse Bates left in 2023 before the end of the 2023 season. Or excuse me, before the 2023 season. But they lost him. And then last year, they lost Jonah Williams, who was the starting tackle, DJ Reader, who was a starting defensive tackle, Tyler Boyd, which, you know, take or leave. And then Awuzie is the corner that they lost.
There we go. Yeah, I was like, I know they lost another DB.
Yeah. So, and then they lost Jesse Bates, who's a Pro Bowl caliber, an all-pro caliber safety two years ago.
Yeah.
And they're just, that's the thing is, a lot of these teams, and I've been a very big advocate for this next man up mentality because I say it all the time, nobody's a household name player until they're a household name player. And sometimes people make fun of me for that, or they'll be like, oh, that guy sucks. And it's like, you say that, and then they catch like 7 passes in a game for 150 yards. And then everyone's like, oh, what about this guy? And it's like, yeah, it's the NFL, dude. They're all very good at this. But we talk about it all the time. There's a couple tenths of a second difference between a Jesse Bates and then someone else, an Awuzie and somebody else. There's a reason why they're Pro Bowl, if not all pro caliber players. And those are the guys you cannot let go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you've seen it in Philadelphia and we've seen it in Jacksonville. You let a couple guys go because they get too expensive. Then all of a sudden your team falls a fucking part and you're like, what happened?
Watching the game last night, there was literally a DB, I think it's Mike Hilton, where they were like, yeah, they've been trying to hide this guy all season.
Yeah.
It's like, they try not to play him. Great.
Well, because there are guys who are very good at certain things. Like, you know, they're great at press coverage or they're great at man coverage, but they're not good in zone and stuff like that. And it's like, the offense knows that too. Like, they'll just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like, Trey Hendrickson is known as this like pass rushing, like defensive end. he's not great against it. He's a big dude, but he's not great against the run. So they just run at him.
Yeah.
You know what's going to slow down your pass rush? Getting screened on and getting ran at.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, the Chargers. Just real quick, I want to say, I don't think the Chargers are going to charge this year. I think maybe the curse has been broken. I think Harbaugh came in and broke that curse.
Harbaugh's a savior? We'll see.
Dude, they're 7-3. They might be like a top seed in the AFC if it wasn't for the Chiefs.
Yeah, let's say, not for the team in their division. They're going to get some real...
that's got to suck to be a wild card. They're going to test their
intestinal fortitude by playing the Ravens this week. Then I got the Falcons, Chiefs, Bucks, Broncos.
That's another one. Yeah. The Ravens is another one. You let go of McQueen, and I was on here, and I was like, it's Roquan that makes that defense go, not McQueen. That I might have been wrong about that one.
You mean Queen. You keep saying McQueen.
Queen, I'm sorry.
Like, what?
I saw a post about cars the other day.
Yeah, I mean, but also the DC left as well.
Yeah, so, no, you're right.
I'm saying, no, Patrick Green is definitely a part of that. DC not being there is a part of that. Having younger corners is an issue that they're dealing with. So,
I love how we didn't put the Ravens on the rundown because we said we talk about the Ravens too much.
They're on the rundown, but you brought it up.
I know. All right.
We're trying to get to the Buffalo Bills hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. First big test of the Chiefs season outside of their opening game against Kansas City. They had just survived. Sorry, the Ravens. They just survived.
Sometimes I correct you and you go, yeah, that's what I said. And I'm like, that's not.
I did say Kansas City. They survived last week beating Denver by a pinky, index finger, blocking that field goal. And now they were going to Buffalo. Buffalo, probably the second best team. Second or third best team, depending on what metric you want to use, in the AFC. And Buffalo did what they've done for like the past 3 years, 2 years. They beat Kansas City in the regular season. Great job.
Last 3 years? Yeah, it's like three or four, actually. It's it's super common that they beat them in the regular season.
They beat them in the regular season. That's their MO. And then... they get punched in the mouth in the postseason. So hopefully they break that trend. Patrick Mahomes, again, having an odd season by his standards.
It's really weird because it's Patrick, standards. So we won't say bad. We'll just say odd, out of character, weird.
Well, no, I think the first bad interception he had got bounced and then ended up in the hands of Tyron Johnson. No, Taylor Rapp, sorry. Tyron Johnson's the running back. So, yeah, it's a lot of perplexing things are happening. Them being 9-1, honestly, is like kind of crazy if you look at the results and how they've played in all these games. And I know everyone's heard the stat, like Patrick Mahomes is, what, 9-0 in one score games or whatever the fuck it is. So it's really interesting. And they've been doing
I've got a fun stat for you.
Ooh.
Do you know how many games Patrick Mahomes has lost by 8 or more points?
One now.
In his entire
career? No, this is 9. In his entire career, 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
5. He's only ever lost 5 games in his whole career. He's only ever lost 5 games by 8 or more points.
I guess this doesn't count anymore, actually, because they lost by 9. The game came down to, I think Romo said it best.
This was number 5.
They lost by 9, though.
8 or more points.
Oh, 8 or more points. Sorry.
This was number 5.
Got it. Oh, wow. Romo said it best at a certain point in this game. This was going to come down to who had the ball last.
Yeah, 13 seconds. Never forget.
Chiefs were climbing back. They made it all the way back. They scored late to... tighten it up, actually. It was, 16-14 at the half. Nobody scored in the third quarter. Chiefs score, get it to within 2, I want to say, 2 points. And all eyes are on Buffalo. And Buffalo scored in a big, big way.
Yeah, can we talk about that, please? The signature play?
4th and 2.
Fourth and 2. I saw someone... Someone this morning already had it revamped to "There Goes My Hero" by the Foo Fighters as he's running. Josh Allen pulled a signature Josh Allen play. He got on his horse and he galloped. What was it? It was like 30-something yards?
26.
26 yards?
Yeah.
Just breaking tackles, taking on defenders, taking on all comers, really. I have Josh Allen in fantasy, and I have the last 3 years. He's my favorite quarterback. I always take him early. I always take him in like the second round or third round, depending on where I'm at, because 2 years in a row, he was the highest scoring fantasy player. I am very happy for Josh Allen. And I know we say this all the time, and we're always talking about, oh, is this quarterback revamping his career and stuff? Josh Allen in year two was called a bust. He was considered a bust, because he could not accurately place the ball. Remember, he was like had interception after interception, and they're like, he's trying to do too much.
Was it year three was the breakout year?
Year three was the breakout year. I was like, wait. And everyone, all the fucking pundits were saying, the one thing you can't fix about a quarterback, you can fix mechanics, you can fix footwork, you can't fix accuracy. And then he came in year three and lit it on fire.
You also got Stephon Diggs that year. So,
yeah. That's true, 100%.
A lot of people are asking.
But it is a weird thing because of, we talk about it all the time. One Josh Allen spawns 10,000 Anthony Richardsons. 10,000
Richardson
players.
Got a dub this week, by the way.
Yeah, he did. He played really well.
Needed dub for this anti-jet guy.
Josh Allen is the template of which a lot of these coaches are going off of. So the fact that, like, we love Lamar here on this show, and he has two MVPs. We're big on Lamar, but the fact that Josh Allen, it's almost sad to me. It's like almost like a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady thing. It's like you would get to so many more
quarterback right now.
No, I'm saying it's just sad that like he's overcome some of these things in his career. Like, again, we all have recency bias. It started really, really bad.
It started horribly.
Where they were like, they're going to have to take another quarterback. Like, this is a disaster. He was throwing picks like 3 or 4 a game because he just couldn't place the ball. And then he was fumbling because he was trying to run too much. And the fact that he has this turnover and he ends up doing this, it's so funny to me. Like, in a sad way, he ends up doing this. All the while, the greatest quarterback maybe of all time who's ever lived is just sitting in his conference like, what's up, dude?
The crazy thing is, maybe two of the best quarterbacks to ever live are sitting in his conference.
Two-time.
And then
the
you got
MVP,
Joe Burrow.
Two-time MVP, yeah. It's just like, come on, man. If he was in the NFC, he would be so dominant.
It's so crazy. Like, I thought about it the other day. I was like, man, you got the guy who's winning all the championships, the guy who's winning all the MVPs. Then you got Burrow, who people want to be great, who is very good.
Yeah.
I think it was last night I was listening to something, or earlier today. Burrow and Chase may be the greatest quarterback
tandem
receiver duo. Like,
but see, this
insane.
Is the thing. If you ask anybody who actually knows football, gun to your head, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, who are you taking? Everyone's taking Josh Allen.
Am I taking Josh Allen?
Yes.
The question is, do I get Jamar Chase with Burrow?
See, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, he needs his Batman number two.
Yeah,
I'm not calling
Josh.
Jamar Chase a Robin. You're out of your mind if you think I would do that.
But yeah, no, it really. And I think the biggest unfortunate thing is he's stuck in Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unfortunate weather-wise, but that you're not going to find a fan base that's like more obsessed with their players than Buffalo.
Obviously, great fan base.
Obviously, we've seen this for years. This doesn't tell us anything about the playoffs. This doesn't tell us. One thing I will say, and we've been talking about it all year, Kansas City's defense showed up. That run game, other than Josh Allen's takeoff, that run game had nothing going.
Nothing.
Cook had 2.2 yards a carry. It was embarrassing.
And another thing going forward is what Kareem Hunt, 14 for 60.
Yeah.
I believe next week Isaiah Pacheco comes back. So,
oh, man. Kareem Hunt's adding that dynamic
back to
give me one more week. Come on, one more week.
Are we in week 11? Yeah, we're in week. It's next week. He's supposed to come back. So yeah, adding that dynamic runner back to this Chiefs offense. Obviously, they want to get the running game going and have it consistent, be consistent throughout. So adding him back into the fold will be interesting. See how that opens things up. I think they rely more now on the run because teams are obviously scheming for Patrick Mahomes. And the windows are much tighter, which is a reason we're seeing the interceptions go up. So, yeah, man. If there is, I can't even say if there's a year, this is the year. The last 2 years, if there was a year, the last 2 years were the year, honestly.
Since Tyreek Hill left, we've been saying this.
Yeah, so we thought that, oh, they're rebuilding. Oh, they won a Super Bowl. And well, they won another Super Bowl. So,
and I will say, Patrick Mahomes did get a flag for an ineligible receiver upfield on a bomb play. Mm. Where so everyone's, which is weird because other than the D4 penalty years ago, which is
yeah, everybody the says Patriots they get the everything. Bowl,
everyone says they get every call, but they did do an RPO and they ended up passing, and there was like three linemen downfield. So yeah, they did get that taken away.
It's yeah, man. I'm interested to see where both of these teams end up. I know they're going to be in the postseason. I know they're going to be vying for an AFC championship, whether they actually play in the AFC championship game or not. We will see. But these are two of the best teams in the AFC, two of the three, four best teams in the NFL as a whole. It's a one game sample.
It's so funny. The NFC has one team that we would argue would be in this rank, but I think they're the better team.
One team.
Who else?
There's a team that's...
Two teams. Two teams. I was like, two teams. I forgot.
There's a team that's 8-0, which is killing right now. Like, what are we talking about?
I'm sorry. I forgot you guys were also in the NFC.
But yeah, so... interested to see where these two teams shake out.
Are you guys on an 8-game win streak?
They did, no. 6-game win streak. We didn't lose the first two games of the season.
That's yeah. I was like, did you guys go 1-2 to start the season?
I think we were 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, and then we ripped off 6.
Yeah.
If memory serves me correct. Yeah, because the second game I want to say was a Monday nighter. We lost to the Falcons. Should have won that game.
You should have won that game.
Then we won.
Mike sounds a
game.
Lot different. We were 0-1, then 0-2, then 0-3, then 0-4, then 1-4, then 1-5, then 1-6, then 2-7.
On to the next one. San Francisco lost to Geno. I didn't write back Smith. Brennan, I don't know about
every
you,
time I'm out on this guy, he fucking pulls me back in. It's goddamn Scarface with him.
I'm not going to tell you how hype I got when he ran that touchdown in. Yep. I freaking exploded as if I was watching the Eagles. For two reasons. One, we know why. Two, San Francisco losing, man. I love us a good San Francisco L. Like, nothing gets me jazzed like San Francisco being embarrassed at home.
Yeah, so obviously they have a lot of injuries. Their two healthiest players are Juwan Jennings coming off of an injury and Ricky Pearsall, who was shot 2 months ago in the chest. And I'm not saying it's not a bit. I'm not trying to be funny.
No, that's the fact.
Literally, their two healthiest skill position players. I don't think. So we were saying, I don't want to speak for you. I was saying this at the time.
Did I don't think Brock Purdy ever play in the NFL again. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, he said that. He's back. But I was kind of on this hill of like, everyone's like, oh, Brock Purdy, elite quarterback, question mark. And I was like, we are looking at his skill position guys, right? Like he has a top five guy in every position on the field. And
never
he had a left tackle
guys
that's a Hall of Famer.
Gets a little wonky.
Yeah.
George Kittle didn't play in this game.
Yeah.
Obviously,
CMC's coming back from the injury. Ayuk's out for the year.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where you're
can
like,
you read
then,
this bizarro stat line?
Which one?
Purdy's. You don't have it up? Mm-hmm. I'll read it for you. 21 of 28. It's a good day. It's a real good day, yeah. Right? 159 yards.
God.
21 completions. That's a lot of. 159 yards.
That's a lot of checkdowns.
Man.
Yeah, I don't think. And now, if you're San Francisco, do you think about. I mean, you have to re-sign Purdy, don't you?
He's got to.
You a Super Bowl. This is the Saracen thing all over again.
We were talking Friday Night Lights before the show.
See,
yeah,
Kyle, I know other things.
They are in no man's land. And
you're too good to get a high enough draft pick to rebuild, but you're not good enough to win the Super Bowl.
And the guy you have is good enough to get you to a Super Bowl. But I don't think he's good enough to get you to a Super Bowl if all the pieces are not there.
So it's the guys you have. It's not the guy. It's the guys, plural. It's the multiple. This is Jimmy Garoppolo literally all over again.
Well, the difference with Jimmy was they paid Jimmy because they had to bring in a quarterback. And they had everybody there cheap.
Yeah, that's true.
Now everybody's paid.
And it's
everybody's
cheap.
Paid.
Yeah.
And the quarterback's cheap. And they don't have to pay the quarterback next year.
This goes back to our discussion last week about the rookie scale and stuff, where it's like, okay, well, now this is a team that we talked about. Now you are in a position where you cannot afford everybody.
Yeah. So what you got to find good players and you got to hope your quarterback can get you there.
This is why we were saying,
I don't know if he
worry
can get
about
you
the
there.
Quarterback first and then build the pieces around them. Bring in the expensive free agent, bring in the shiny new toys because you had all the good stuff and now your quarterback's about to get paid and that's going to be, you're going
to
be insane.
Clock's about to
with
strike
12
on you. So
yeah.
I do want to point out a big thing. Nick Bosa, MAGA Nick Bosa, was dealing with a hip injury going into last week's game. Obviously, it was ailing him in this week's game. He ended up with 2 sacks anyways. But
yeah,
he
called
came
himself
up,
out and then went back in and got
I was about to say, he called himself out, went back in, but then, like, obviously reactivated, re-injured himself, like, strained himself. Apparently, it's an oblique and not a hip, but, you know, connective chain and all that. But so after he re-hurt himself.
Re-aggravated it, yeah.
Re-aggravated. Thank God. I was struggling for the damn word. After he re-aggravated it and went out, that's when the Seahawks got their 2 touchdowns to end up winning the game. The last of which was a Geno scramble with seconds on the clock. Yeah, great, great play. I mean, if not for the Josh Allen 26-yarder, Geno's like 10-yarder would probably be talked about a lot more today. But
do you think Seattle has what it takes to actually make some noise in the playoffs?
No. Don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
I think they have the pieces.
They're hurt every year.
They have so much offensive line fluctuation that it's insanity. Literally, their starting center retired like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Like, I went on ESPN.com and it said, Seahawks center retires. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what is he dealing with? Like, no, not getting into it any more than that. Said he's done and he's done for good. Like, okay, all right. Now we got to figure out the center quarterback exchange 3 days before San Francisco.
The most important relationship on the field.
And they got it done. I would say there was one bungled snap that went over Geno's head, which seems to happen with the Seahawks at least once a game, honestly.
I want to say this because I played center my senior year and it was the most stressful time I ever played football my senior year of high school. And there is no like way to snap the ball in a shotgun thing. You just kind of flick it behind you. There's no like,
you're hoping he catches.
You know,
and,
yeah. You know,
well,
in most sports,
biggest
it's like,
thing,
oh.
Hold on. I will say the biggest objective is don't throw it over the person.
Yeah. 100%. But
don't
just
dirt
saying,
it
like,
and don't go over their head.
Like when you watch basketball, you're like, oh, that guy's shots off. Or if you're watching football, you're like, oh, the wide receiver's catching with his body, not with his hands. Or like a quarterback, you could be like, oh, he's got too long of a windup. And this, I'm sure with baseball too, but like there is a very like secure way to hand the ball off when he's under center. That's something you work on. You do snaps, but shotgun, they're just like, yeah, just get it back there. And you're like, yeah, but how? And they go, just flick it behind you. And you're like, okay. And so I'm surprised we don't see this more, to be quite honest.
Mm. I mean, people are really skilled at it.
Yeah, but still, like, I mean, it's just one of those things where there's not like, you think like, oh, they're professional athletes, they got it. And then you see one go over the head and it's like, yeah, that makes sense. He's got a 300-pound nose tackle in front of him. He's got to block next.
Yeah, but no. Job one, ball secured in the hands.
Geno Smith.
Give him a fighting chance, at least.
Yeah.
But, all righty. Let's keep it rolling.
I didn't hear no bell. One more round.
All right, it's time for one more round. I'm going to take the first one because the third one is my team. Just real quick, our homecoming game we were playing, I dirted the first two because my senior year we decided to leave the triple option and go to shotgun, like this is when everyone was doing this. Well, this is when everyone was doing spread, like the Florida Gators. And so we decided to switch to the spread offense my senior year. We weren't very good. We went like 4-6. But real quick, homecoming game,
Spruce Creek, right?
Go Hawks, fly Hawks, up to the Sky Hawks. I dirted the first two snaps of the game. I dirted them. Like skipped him across the ground because I think we were playing a team that had like a really good defensive tackle and I was fucking freaking out.
Are you guys playing and Leonard Williams? Is he in your class or is he my class?
No, your class. Okay. And then the third snap over the guy's head.
Damn.
Chase.
Terrible first drive.
Shout out to Chase Oviak.
Was it a three and out?
And I came off to the sideline. Everyone was like, you're good, Tess. If you're good. I started throwing up. I was like freaking out.
Not good.
I started crying and throwing up. It was terrible.
Who were you guys playing for homecoming?
I think we were playing Atlantic, which is like our rival school that we always just crushed. But really? I was just like freaking out. I think it's because they moved me.
That's so weird.
Yeah, because they built Atlantic because Spruce Creek was too overcrowded.
Oh.
So it was like our younger brother. It was literally like two streets away from us.
I never put two and three.
My big one was Seabreeze because that's where all my sisters went and all their friends went, and then Mainland was technically our rival. But
why didn't you go to Mainland? Seabreeze?
IB.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I was a Thmont kid, and then Mainland was technically our rival, but they crushed everybody.
Mainland was too good.
Yeah,
put it this way for the folks listening: Mainland put out Leonard Williams, the defensive tackle in the NFL, and also
Buster Davis, who played NFL linebacker,
and also Vince Carter. That's where Vince Carter went to school.
It was a disaster. And then I remember they took our long snapper and moved him to center.
That's
Shannon Dangler, one of my best friends. And then they bumped me over to guard, and they're like, "Yeah, you just play guard."
What, at the end of the year?
It's kind of hazy to me. I remember because he was playing center a lot, and then sometimes they would move me into center and him into guard, and then they'd flip I think he got hurt,
your coach
fucked his ankle up.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I feel like your coach is bugging, shuffling off his ankle up.
Yeah, and he was like, Brennan, they were like, Tass, if you could play center. I remember one game we were doing like the Roadrunner, which is just on first down. But then our quarterback, who was a freshman, but he was like this freshman phenom who never panned out. He was a freshman, and as we're running up to the line, he's like, it's on one. But our coach is screaming Roadrunner, which means no huddle, first sound, just go. So he says, go down. And I hike the ball. And half the line isn't moving. And half the line fires out. Oh, it's so funny. We watched that on film like 19 times.
Coach at least cape for you and said, I said Roadrunner.
That was the last game of the season, and had we won, we would have barely been eligible for the playoffs, but we would have made it in the playoffs, and we lost to Mandarin. And, it was the last game of my senior year, and I felt like I fucked it up because I snapped the ball at the wrong time because no one was on the same page, and it was a disaster.
Well, half the other guys went along, so.
So come to find out, Mark Jones, who is like into sumo now, who went to Coastal Carolina on a full ride, but came back after a semester because he's a big, big baby. I love you, Mark.
We're going to get to Green Bay, Chicago in a second. We
are, but he played left guard and he went. So the guy who played left tackle, Cody Pellisier, went.
Yeah.
And then the game,
the right side does my did move.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm like crying. I'm like all upset. And Mark's like, why are you crying? And I was like, our football careers are over. He's like, yours so? Was. Yeah. Well, then I went to FAU. Go Owls, baby.
That's right. Yours wasn't. Showed him.
But like I just meant played high school. Yeah, I did actually. But it was so funny. I go, why did you go? And he goes, Tassif, to be honest with you, I never listened to the count. I just watched the ball. Because like, he was like 6'4", yeah. Like 300 pounds. Like no one was coming through him, so he didn't care. Anyway, speaking of not caring, Chicago Green Bay, this was going to be the first time Chicago was going to win in the last 10
tries.
10? Was it 10?
10 tries.
God. Driving down the field, Caleb Williams looks good. Apparently that offensive coordinator was to blame for all the faults. They're driving down the field. This is a Denver-Kansas City thing from the other week. Kicking a field goal to win the game. Gets blocked in the final seconds. Game over. Green Bay wins. Green Bay did not look for real because Chicago's kind of been a dumpster fire the last 3 weeks, but Chicago looks better. So, yeah, the defense has been good. You're right, but Jordan Love's not the guy I thought he was at the beginning of the year. And he has that injury, but you called it. You were right.
All I said was, I don't know if I'm paying a guy max money after one full season in the pros.
I know. I just thought he was your guy.
Half my guy.
Oh, no.
One more round.
And I was like, not again.
I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. Ravens Steelers played the most Ravens Steelers game you could ever watch. After every snap, kick, field goal, there was a fight. There was a skirmish of some sort.
They don't like each other.
Plain don't like each other. This is a game between two teams that plain don't like each other. I always liked that one growing up. The Steelers win their second game. Their second game of the season where they did not score a touchdown.
Yep.
Say that again for the people that don't think Mike Tomlin's a warlock. They won their second game of this season where they did not score a touchdown, and they beat the team who had the most points per game, who was leading in points per game. And they beat them without scoring a touchdown.
The best offense in the NFL.
So, for those of you who have been reluctant to agree with me that Mike Tomlin obviously is the prince of the underworld and is terrorizing Halloween Town, there you go.
Still on that Halloween.
But yeah, no, the Ravens, they had an opportunity late. They ended up getting the touchdown that they needed. But when they were trying to get the 2-point conversion in, Mike Tomlin kind of outcoached John Harbaugh there. They had them line up, called the timeout, saw what formation they were in. Then when the Ravens ran it again, it looked like kind of like your high school play. Half the people were on the right page, half the people weren't. Lamar's rolling to the left kind of all by himself. I don't think there might have been one receiver mirroring him, and that was all she wrote. I think something that we can take away, because this game was a 2-point loss for the Ravens, and a lot of people are going to extract a lot of that and be like, oh, Lamar didn't do the thing. Lamar got them in position time after time after time. My guy.
Justin Tucker. I know.
Justin Tucker.
Mr. Automatic, Hall of Fame kicker.
It's gone.
It's gone. It happens. It's just gone. And that's how it works in professional sports.
You miss two of
too
them.
Long and then it's
two
gone.
Chippies. Two chippies by his standards, let me say that. I think one of them was like 40 yards, 40 or so, and the other one was 50.
The first one he missed was like 50 or 52, and he barely missed it, and then he missed the 40, like just shanked
bad. And Boswell went 6 for 6. I mean, that's how slim the margins are.
That's the game, yeah.
Sometimes that's how slim the margins are. He makes those two field goals, you know. it's a different ballgame. It's 22-18. We're looking at a whole different score. We're seeing how gutsy the Ravens were to stick this one out. But yeah, no, they didn't get it. The defense of their defense actually looked better in this game than they had, like we were talking about them being Swiss cheese. The offense, the Steelers have a way, man. It's been what I think I heard over 500 carries where Derrick Henry lost a fumble. First carry of the game, loses a fumble. Like, yeah. What? Like, what?
Got that crazy interception.
How did that even happen? Yeah. Like, yeah. Insane. And it's like, what? Like, what are you telling me?
The defensive back's arm was like in there and he just ripped the ball out.
Turns around and rips it out as they're falling to the ground. Like, what? There's just something that this team has. And it's,
yeah, they have a
obviously,
warlock
I was about to say, they have a warlock on the sideline. That is what it is. But yeah, no, just good game though. Good old fashioned game. Like, I know a lot of people aren't going to be like, oh, this is a great game. That was a competitive matchup.
One more round.
All right, I'm going to be really quick on this. Detroit handed Jacksonville the biggest loss in franchise history.
Score got me.
Yeah, they, okay, two things, because Detroit was like my team that I rooted for growing up. Everyone who listens to this knows that, because I always loved an underdog and I really liked their uniforms. So I just started rooting for them. And two things I'll say. One, good on you, Dan Campbell, for running the score up. Fucking, if you're going to come to play, let's play. And two, it's very clear Doug Peterson has lost this team entirely. Trent Baalke has lost this team entirely. That defense has, other than the Bills game, has played very well, at least the first three quarters of every game. And then by the fourth quarter, they're exhausted because they're on the field the whole goddamn time. And they just, it looked like they just did not give a shit.
Did Mixon get another touchdown? I think he might have, yeah.
So, yeah.
I just want to cover this exchange that happened in my fantasy group chat, because I don't know if you remember, but pretty much everybody from this chat lives in Jacksonville. Not everybody's a Jacks fan, but everybody pretty much lives in Jacksonville. So obviously we pay attention to the Jacks. And at one point my buddy said, Brian Thomas injured on a catch in a 52-6 game. And I said, fireable offense. Right after that, Dan Campbell throwing a challenge flag in a 52-6 game. Love it.
Love it. Love it, man. And I'll be the first to say, when we got Doug and he was going for it on fourth downs and stuff, I was texting you like, this is great. This is fantastic. And then it just wasn't. And it's very disappointing. Joe's mic went out again because he sat up in his chair. So I'm just going to talk about this for a little bit. So hopefully we don't have to restart again. For those of you listening, we restarted the first time. You'll hear Joe say technical difficulties when we come back, unless he cuts that out. But he's not going to cut this out because he's going to fix it while we're still talking. One more round. All right, the next game we're going to talk about is Joe's Philadelphia. God damn it.
All right, those technical difficulties hopefully are over. But as Brennan tried to do so eloquently.
One more round.
One more round. I had a great weekend. Because my week was over on Thursday. The Eagles played the Washington Commanders. A combination of really good defense and obviously Jaden Daniels nursing some type of injury. I know he ended up suffering a hand injury, had to get it like glued, but he was also nursing his ribs. I think only one completion was to an actual receiver. Other than that, everything was short to his running backs, to his tight ends. Zach Ertz annoyingly made a hell of a catch in the back of the end zone. But yeah, outside of that, man, the Eagles did what they had to do. Short week. I didn't care about the numbers offensively as far as Jalen or AJ or Devontae or anything. It was a taking care of it was a business trip. Go in, take their lunch, walk out with a W, rest up for next week. And ugly as it looked, They did that. Saquon, two big scampers at the end of the game to pretty much put it out of hand. So, yeah, great job by everybody getting prepared and executing the game plan. So, Brennan.
Boom.
More time. In America. Yeah, that's right. We're playing Who's In, Who's Out, Who's Up, Who's Down, hosted by the one and only Joe Dorville.
Who's up, who's down, who's in, who's out. Brennan, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Joe. How about yourself?
I'm doing A-okay, buddy. So which one would you like to hear first? Who's up, who's down, or who's in and who's out?
I think before we can know who's up and who's down, we got to know who's in and who's out.
Oh, I love the way you think, buddy. So Kansas State is out. Don't know who they lost to. Maybe they lost to somebody. Come on, they lost to Arizona. Again, it doesn't tell you for the teams that are out. but they did lose to Arizona State, who's now ranked. I'll tell you where shortly. But yeah, they lost their game to Arizona State. LSU is out after losing to Florida. I believe Florida beat them. Yeah, they did. That was crazy. Louisville is out after
Florida put it on them.
To don't know who Louisville lost to. I think Louisville lost to somebody that wasn't ranked. It was very embarrassing. Did they lose to BC? No. Yes? No. I have to look that up. And Mizzou lost as well. They lost to South Carolina. They lost to Stanford. That's what it was. Mizzou lost to South Carolina. Now, for who's in, Illinois beat Michigan State 38-16. They are ranked number 25. UNLV beat San Diego State 41-20. They are ranked number 23. Okay. Iowa State beat Cincinnati. They are now ranked again. They beat Cincinnati 34-17. And like I said, Arizona State beat Kansas State. They are now ranked 21. Who's up? Who's down?
Just real quick, that's going to hurt for Washington State to get jumped by 1, 2, 3, 4 unranked teams.
Well, it's because they lost to New Mexico State 38-35. That's what happened there. Army went down two spots after not losing. Not playing this week. Kansas beat BYU, forcing them to fall seven spots from number 7 to number 14. I was rooting for BYU because I'm a spiteful asshole. All right? One of my coworkers tweeted as Miami was struggling against Georgia Tech the previous week and was like, "Go Tech." And I was like, "What did you just say?" He was like, "Nah, man, my daughter's name is Georgia." And I was like, "You could root for UGA. You could root for State. You could root for Southern.
Top team of the country.
You pick Tech." And he was like, "Ah, you got me. But I'm just mad because of how they've been treating BYU." And I was like, "You're dead to me. Mafungu. Dead." All right.
Watch what happens when they play Kansas now.
And they played Kansas and they took it out. So happy. I was so happy.
God, they dropped completely out of the rankings.
Yeah, I think they're still going to be up there.
College football playoff.
They're still going to be in the playoffs because right now they're still number one in the Big 12. But in the AP top 12, they are out. The thing is, a lot of these SEC teams are going to cannibalize themselves, and some of them are going to have to go. Other drop, Tennessee dropped four spots after losing to Georgia. 31-17. As far as who's up, biggest up is the team that we love the most here, Tulane, leaders in the Green Wave. But very unfortunately, they beat the Naval Academy 34-0. Now, I know you're the Green Wave, but I don't like knowing that our Navy ships are getting beat by Green Waves. So, conflict of interest here. Conflict of interest here. But they jumped up five spots to number 20. It was crazy. Army still undefeated. South Carolina jumped four spots to number 19 again after beating Mizzou. Colorado jumped up two spots after beating Utah. They are now ranked 16. SMU's up to 13. Boise State is up to 12. Miami's up to 11. Didn't play this week. Somehow, two-loss Tennessee, two-loss Ole Miss, and two-loss Georgia, and two-loss Alabama are all ahead of us. SEC bias there. but yeah, Georgia jumped up three spots to the number eight seed after beating Tennessee. Alabama jumped up two spots after beating, the juggernaut known as Mercer. And Notre Dame jumped up two spots after beating Virginia. Everything else is pretty much stayed the same. So number one is still Oregon, two Ohio State, three Texas, four Penn State, five Indiana State. Big matchup with them and Ohio State this week. Number six, Notre Dame. Big matchup with them. And number 18, Army. Let's go Armed Forces. Number seven, Alabama. Number eight, Georgia. Number nine, Ole Miss, who plays Florida. Florida, world beaters. Just saying. Just beat LSU. Ooh, Lane, can you go back to the state of Florida and get a W? Number 10, Tennessee. Number 11, Miami. They play Wake Forest. Hopefully, we don't make that interesting whatsoever. And number 12, Boise State, who's going to be playing Wyoming. SMU sitting at 13. BYU sitting at 14. BYU got to play Arizona State, who just got ranked after beating Kansas State. BYU lost to Kansas. Just saying. Just saying. All right, folks. That is all we got today. Full, no game, international break. So, again, like I said, basketball, hockey, we're going to get to you guys a little later once we don't have to spend, like, hours on the NFL. So, no. Wrong button. Brandon, where can we find you?
Oh, right. You can find me at Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all the social, and Blue Sky now, at Brennan T. Comedy on all social media. BrennanTComedy.com. If Joe gets this out by tomorrow, I have a show Wednesday, November 20th, here in Astoria, New York. If you are a listener and you happen to live in New York, come on out. Tickets are on the website. Tickets are in the link tree, everywhere like that. And last thing, check out my other podcast, Ex-Drinking Buddy. I have a comic normally, but any sort of artist on, and they talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. Joe.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorval. You can find this show's Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Kearing Press. Blue Sky is a Twitter alternative created by founded by one of the founders of Twitter, Jack Dorsey. It's less ads, less bots, more engagement, a little slice of some old fashioned Twitter interactions. So you go out there, check us out there, check me out there, check Brennan out there, engage with us, let us know you're listening, say what's up. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network. That is A New Low. That is Who Does a Podcast? Who Does a Podcast? We're doing Saturday Night Fever tomorrow. Check me out on Etsy.com/shop/Headphone Joe. No O, no E in the phone. And check out my music under the moniker Headphone Joe. No O, no E in the phone. Anything else, Brennan?
I just looked me up on Max Preps. In 2005, when I was a junior, I was nationally ranked.
Ooh.
Don't want to toot my own horn as an offensive lineman. 6,025.
6,025. Now, was this as a guard or just as an offensive lineman?
As an offensive lineman. In the state, I was 225th offensive lineman in the state.
Every team has about five down linemen.
I think that's just for your class. So out of all the juniors that played offensive line.
Well, hey, I can't say I'm Max Preps ranked. Well, Brennan, get me out of here because I got some cheesecake for me in the fridge.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. And that's why we play the game. The
Cheesecake Factory. Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. Josh Allen, baby. Signature play.
Huge shout out, Gino.
Yeah, and Gino, signature play. God, Scarface, man. Every time I get out, they pull me back in.